You know, my man, you see his face. That, of course, is Alex Shapiro. You can check out everything that he does on the Windy City Podcast covering Chicago sports. You know, I'm here with his Bears chatter to come in and do a little chatting. We definitely have to talk about the trade deadline that took place this Tuesday. We're recording right now. It is Friday morning. And we have to talk about this Sunday's game against the New York City Giants, the football Giants, as they would say back in the day when New York had two teams in separate sports.
Before they moved to San Francisco.
San Francisco. See, we're giving you a history lesson. All right, you're getting that too. You're learning things. Football Giants. Alex, how are you doing today, my guy?
I'm wonderful. USC football plays tonight, so that's really exciting. Friday night football, Friday night lights at USC.
All right, so tell me now, you're in what, year four of the Lincoln Riley experience at SC? What year? It's about year four, right?
2022.
Yeah, because he had 2 years of Caleb, and 2 years of Caleb's gone now. Caleb's been in the second season, so 4 years. So as an SC alum, for anybody that doesn't know, Alex is an SC alum.
Yeah.
Your feelings on Lincoln Riley's tenure at your alma mater?
Lincoln Riley has done a phenomenal job of making USC almost relevant again. I say almost relevant because Arrogant Nation, I'm just going to lean in. Can I lean in and play a bit of a character? Can I play a little bit of a USC meatball Arrogant Nation character?
Please do. We appreciate it.
Because it's kind of an ethos and a pathos and maybe a little bit of a pathology. It's all of those things when you root for USC football. I
definitely not a logos though. Definitely not a logos. There's no logic. I'm saying there's no logic.
There. There's no logic. It's a little bit loco, but there's no logos. Here's the thing. When I will be disappointed tonight. Here's everything you need to know. I will be disappointed tonight if USC doesn't beat the Northwestern Wildcats 63-0. Anything other than beating the Northwestern Wildcats 63-0 or more, like obviously they score more, is a failure. So that's where I'm at. So when I say almost relevant, like ranked 20 rounds down to zero for me. You ranked 10 rounds down to zero for me. USC should be number one. They should be winning national titles. They should be winning the big game. They should be winning Rose Bowls. That is the standard. Anything below Rose Bowls isn't getting it done. So is it fun that they're at least not embarrassingly bad? Yeah, like to a degree, that's fun. But when they lose to Illinois, when they lose to Notre Dame, unacceptable. So that's right. Me, full meatball. I hate calling for guys' jobs. Lincoln Riley is a hardworking man who is trying really hard to win football games. I'm, you know, like, I hate being like, Lincoln Riley should be fired, blah, 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 blah. That's real, Alex. However, meatball's like, dude, if you can't beat Notre Dame, you got to go. If you can't beat Notre Dame, if you're not playing in the college football playoff now ever, like they've never made the college football playoff. That is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed. With 12 teams. So that's where I'm at. Like, I don't care that they're ranked 20 or whatever. It rounds down to zero. If they don't beat Northwestern, I'm raising the stakes 100 to nothing, 100 points to 0 points. Cause the Northwestern, like we're talking about the Northwestern Wildcats here. Whoa. I mean, all the disrespect in the world. I mean, all the disrespect in the world. Purdue, they couldn't cover against Purdue. It was a 3-touchdown spread against Purdue. You can't cover? Come on, get real. So it's like, I'm not satisfied. I am. It's tantalizingly close. It's so tantalizingly close to being relevant. We know
someone had some coin.
It's the fact. No. It, whether or not I had coin on it is irrelevant because it's good teams win, great teams cover, and they just ain't that great team yet. They need to be winning by 50 regularly. They need to be number one in the charts, winning titles, winning Rose Bowls, etc. That is the standard. That's the standard. So that's how I feel about Lincoln Riley in the trenches.
You see the passion, everybody. We'll bring you Big Ten sports next season. moving forward. That's the passion. But let's bring this back to Chicago. Of course, we're going to preview the upcoming game against the Giants, but Bears did make a trade at the trade deadline. Alex, your thoughts? The Bears traded with the Browns of 2026 sixth round pick. The Bears will receive a seventh. And of course, coming along the way, they have Joe Tryon Choinka. Probably if anybody really knows him, we remember him as a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. They drafted him right after winning the Super Bowl. I ironically on my independent show before I went dark on it for a minute, I interviewed Carmen Vitale years before she came on our show under center.
Yeah.
And it, I remember her raving about him and after his rookie season. And he was one of those guys for anybody, just for like Bears fans to give you a history. He's one of those players back then, because clearly he hasn't lived up to it, that they you viewed as a piece that was going to grow into a more than a depth piece. You thought either he was going to be one of the main defensive ends, and he has the ability from the end to kind of zone out somewhat, as far as, you know, he reminds me, you know who I thought about? Y'all guys going to love this, Alex. I forgot to look it up. What was the Bears defensive end that they drafted from Georgia that they ended up letting go when Khalil Mack got here and he went to the Rams and won Leonard the Super Floyd. Bowl? Okay. The best case scenario, and I'm saying that what he was supposed to be was the Rams version of Leonard Floyd. That's kind of what he was supposed to be, a guy that can rush off the edge, but it's also lengthy and long enough that if you wanted to drop him back in certain situations, it wouldn't be like, damn, why the hell did you drop him back? Like, that's what he hasn't lived up to that. So I'm not selling you guys wolf tickets. Like, this is what you're getting. If Dennis Allen can pull something halfway to probably even, unfortunately to say halfway, when you're talking about he really didn't play, I think he had like 31 snaps as a Brown.
Yeah, hardly anything.
Basically, and they brought him in, and he was like, yeah, this isn't what we want. So if you can get half of the production that you thought you were going to get when Tampa Bay drafted him, that would be good when you're talking about Dayo Odingbo tearing his Achilles, and him kind of being that replacement depth. And we also know that Austin Booker returned last week, and I'm sure a lot of those snaps are probably going to start off going to Austin Booker first moving forward, since rookie Shamar Turner also towards ACL and is out moving forward this season. But your thoughts on the trade and bringing in Shoyinka, Alex?
First of all, I got to give you props on the Leonard Floyd comp. I do love that, because Joe Tryon Choinka to me seems like a guy who's like really an outside linebacker in the same way that Leonard Floyd had his best success when he was really playing outside linebacker. Right. And I know edge, it kind of can be interchangeable, right? When you're talking about edge defenders, sometimes they're outside linebackers, sometimes they're defensive ends, right? Depending on if it's an odd or an even front. A four down front, like the Bears use, you would think of them as a defensive end. A three down front, like what the Bears used to use, like in the Vic Fangio days, that is an outside linebacker, essentially. So it boils down to like hand in the dirt or hand not in the dirt. How wide are you getting, et cetera, et cetera. But basically you're doing the same things. You're attacking the pass rusher from the edge and you're setting the edge in the run game. But I do love that Leonard Floyd because of the outside linebacker of it all. So my thoughts on the deal are, I think the Bears did the right thing by hardly doing anything at all, to be honest. Did they need a body on the defensive line, specifically at defensive end or edge? Like, yes, absolutely. When you lose Dayo Odingbo for the year, Shamar Turner's done for the year. Dominique Robinson has a high ankle sprain, and it seems like the Bears feel like that could be a short-term deal, but you know, high ankle sprains are kind of nasty, fickle injuries that can take a while. So the Bears simply need people to take snaps out on the edge. They just need bodies out there. I looked it up when I was making a video for TikTok about this. Dayo Odingbo and Dominique Robinson, if you average together their average snaps, it was something like 66 snaps per game. And Austin Booker, who returned, and that is going to be a big help, only played 37 snaps in his debut. So even if Austin Booker bumps that to 40, I mean, you're still looking for 16 snaps per game that you need out there. So the Bears simply needed a body. Am I expecting Joe Tryon Choinka to put up big sack numbers with the Bears, or to be like this great edge setter in the run game that's going to like transform the run game? No. I expect him to have a few series. Hopefully don't make mistakes. Just do your job out there so that Montez Sweat can get a breather. So that Montez Sweat can come back the next series and be 100% Montez Sweat. That is what the Bears needed. They need the guy that they're already paying a boatload of money in Montez Sweat. Yeah, they need him to be great. They need him to be great. So by getting another defensive end, again, he's a body out there. He's taking snaps. He is making sure that Montez Sweat doesn't need to overextend himself so that he can stay fresh in the fourth quarter when the Bears need him in the fourth quarter for that big, big series. Oh, Joe Tryon, Shoyinka played, you know, in the third quarter a little bit. So now Montez Sweat is feeling better. That's what it's all about, in my opinion. And then when you're giving up a sixth and you're getting a player and a seventh back, I mean, like, it was essentially nothing to bring this guy in. So, right. So, yeah, he signed a tiny one-year deal. It's a rental. Maybe the Bears can squeeze something out of him. That would be great, man. That would be – that's all gravy, in my opinion. But to me, this is a move to protect Montez Sweat, to help Montez Sweat stay healthy. And then for folks who are like, oh, they should have gotten Max Crosby. Oh, they should have gotten Trey Hendrickson. Oh, they should have gotten a cornerback. Where I'm at with the Bears right now, I don't believe the Bears are one or two players away from actually contending. You know, the Bears are 5-3. So it's very tempting to say, oh, they should be pushing their chips in the middle to make a playoff run. And the NFC does look a little bit more wide open than we anticipated, right? The Eagles have shown some cracks in their armor. The Packers, after being like dynamite Super Bowl favorites, are all of a sudden getting knocked off by the Panthers. The Micah Parsons deal hasn't looked like a huge, huge slam dunk for the Packers. You know, the Commanders now, Jaden Daniels is going to miss some amount of time with this elbow injury. So I understand that it's tempting to make a move this year. You got to remember, Jalen Johnson is still out for the foreseeable future. Yeah. You know, the Bears are still, even with this deal, thin at defensive end. This defense has created a lot of takeaways, but when they're not taking the ball away, they're kind of struggling. Special teams, which is so important in the playoffs, is just a mess. So even though the Bears are 5-3, I just don't believe that they're like one or two players away from really making a push. And we're in year one of Ben Johnson. This is Ben Johnson's first year at getting some players in that fit his scheme. To me, I just think the Bears were better off holding on to those first and second round picks that they have so that Ben Johnson can continue to build his roster so that the team can build towards the future and not kind of, you know, blow their wad early to make a move in what seems like, hey, we're actually playing pretty good ball on offense. So I get it. It's tempting. But if the Bears do it the right way, building around Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze, obviously very young, second-year player, Luther Burden, rookie, Colson Loveland, rookie. You know, I'm not certain that the Bears have their left tackle of the future on their roster yet. Theo Benedict has been really good in the run game, but I have some questions to pass pro. So, like, they need help on that offensive line still. Mm-hmm. You put all of that together, I think the Bears were better suited standing pat, keeping that draft capital, keeping that powder dry, as you like to say, Kenneth, and building this with the long-term view because this year, like, it just seems like a bonus year. Whatever happens this year, a playoff appearance seems like bonus stuff. I don't know that I see the Bears as a true Super Bowl contender where you are like the Eagles, like the Ravens, like the other teams who were making moves, who were making acquisitions. It's like, oh yeah, these guys have real championship aspirations. I just don't think the Bears are there.
No, I mean, if we're going to be just fan forward and lie to you, we could tell you that, yeah, they could odds, as far as odds, yeah, they could get hot. The likelihood is minimal, and it's not a knock. I think what Alex says is imperative. They're ahead of schedule, and I was on Jay Hood's show yesterday, and he said that they did on him and Cap show in the morning, they did midseason grades. He gave him a B-. He thought, and I was like, I think that's a spot on grade because they're still, they're ahead of schedule. So it's not a C. So, which a C wouldn't be bad on a team that's changing an administration. But they also, as you pointed out, they can't pressure anybody. So one, what were you going to give up for Max? I mean, think about what Max Crosby was going to cost you. That's worst case. It's a one and a two. They're probably going to want two ones. So now you're hamstringing Ben Johnson from moving forward and getting young, cheaper talent, and particularly the guy that he wants right this upcoming offseason as far as when the draft comes. All right. And then I want to say this too, and me and you have alluded to this in this iteration of us coming together, that we had jokes when Joe Campbell and Jahmyr Gibbs were drafted by the Detroit Lions, right? We were like, they just out here getting whatever they want, right? Like, we, as far as draft value, we didn't see it. But they knew what they needed, and those players have benefited them immensely for what they didn't wait around. You know what? We got two first-rounders. We're going to get this out of the way, basically, right?
Yeah.
And the reason I'm saying that is let's not – and, of course, it's not an apples-to-apples comparison on what the Bears should do and what the Lions have done, but it still gives you a framework of what a team – that was perennially sucked did to make themselves into the contender. Bears haven't been perennially sucked. They haven't been good for a long time consistently, right? And what you need to do is first is build up your players. Ryan Poles in the past has done a lot of wheeling and dealing. Some of it good, some of it not so good. He's definitely accumulated draft talent because he could hold off until he finally drafted Caleb and he could trade that one away to Carolina so they could, of course, bring in Bryce Young or whatever, and that helped him or whatever. But in knowing that, you want to give Ben Johnson bites at getting the player that he and Dennis Allen see is the exact square peg into the square hole that we're talking about, rather than try to go out and get Max Crosby. And now, and I know the cap can be manipulated, you a defensive end, you got crazy dough. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it's not my money, but also how long will it last? Now, the good part of it, sometimes it seems like perhaps Montez Sweat may be more of a Robin than a Batman, and definitely Max Crosby can play a Batman role. The same with Trey Hendrickson. But again, you're talking about an older player where what's the timeline here? And I know we're waiting to see who Caleb is, but of course the major goal is to win before Caleb gets paid, right? So you want to first build up your assets. Then next year, really, if they make another jump, Alex, and you're like, yo, we are really ahead of schedule, then you like, you know what, forget it. Let's throw it down because now we may have a chance. And like, as you said, if the NFC is open again, if the Eagles, just to say they stay where they're at, if the teams basically don't improve moving forward, then and it widens that gap for the Bears to shoot, then you do it. But right now, it doesn't make as much sense because you probably aren't going to the Super Bowl this year. Like, let's just be honest. Like, the offensive line has played a lot better. And as you pointed out, Theo Benedict is right now better in the run than in the past. I'm not saying that this line couldn't shimmy its way until the offensive line isn't the problem. If it stays what it is right now, the last 3 weeks, it's not the problem, but you're not getting jack pressure enough. And then, I know some people are like, well, if you're not getting pressure, why not trade for a defensive end? Because your back end is just been beleaguered by injury. It's just, and then like, it'd be different if the Bears didn't have talent in the back end. And you like, you know what? Let's go ahead and bring in Asante Samuel. And even though he's coming back from a few spine surgery, we could put him on an incentive deal. And you're looking at next year. If your guys are healthy, you really got your guys for next year. So then you're adding something in. Not to say that you don't need more DBs, but it's not one of those spots where you're beat up to the point you want to bring in like a spot guy like Gardner Johnson is cool because either he's here next year or he's not here. It doesn't derail the fact that that's Kyler Gordon's position. You know what I'm saying?
Free agent deal. All you're spending is this year's salary cap money to bring him in, which again, as you said, it's different from trading away picks, right? Picks are future players. To bring in an Asante Samuel, all you need to do is sign him to a contract. To bring in CJ Gardner-Johnson as they did. All they needed to do was sign him to a contract. So that's even lower risk. And similar with the Joe Tryon, Shoyinka thing, like you moved a sixth round pick to a seventh round pick.
That's it.
That's it. That's about as low risk as it gets. So the Bears did a good job between the CJ Gardner-Johnson signing and this Tryon Shoyinka trade of adding bodies, of giving themselves extra depth in the two positions where they were beat up the most, and really future-proofing themselves. They did not mortgage their future to add those bodies that they needed to that room.
That's it. I think that ends it right here. I think we think the Bears are moving in a good direction, and in the future, we're going to give out some awards for some of the positivity at the midway point where we're at right now in the season. But right now, we got to talk about this Giants game with the Bears facing a Giants team. So I'm going to lean in early. That's ripe for the picking. For me, I will say this. I didn't know that Jackson Dart was going to kind of have it.
Yeah.
Like he kind of has it in New York City, right?
USC quarterback. We were just talking USC. Little USC quarterback, Jackson Dart.
He has it. But I would feel I would feel worried for the Bears if one Malik Nabers was healthy. And then on top of that, if Cam Scatterboo was healthy, then I'd be like offensively, man, the Giants defense is trash. They like in the bottom four of the NFL. All right. But if you're telling me that they had those offensive weapons, I'm not worried about Tracy. I'm not that worried about Singleton as far as their running backs. Cam Scatterboo he has a little it to him too. You know what I'm saying? As far as not just running rugged, but also being able to catch the ball out of the backfield, and Jackson Dart's ability to throw and run, and Moxie. We'll see when the tape is out on him next year if it's just, he has a good rookie year or good rookie games or if it's sustainable. But the fact that they've been beat up with injuries and that their defense isn't stout, I'm not even going to waste time waiting to the end of the show telling you how I feel about my prediction for this game, Alex, to be honest with you.
Lay it on me.
I think the Bears should win by at least six.
Okay.
The Bears should be, you know, because with the Bears, I want to say more. Definitely a touchdown or 10, but you know, one is the NFL, two is the Bears, right? Like, what happened last week? Oh, man.
Used up all their mojo.
Oh, dude. I'm just as far as the gambling side. Yes, the mojo is like if I'm playing the numbers and I'm worried about the spread, I cannot mess with them.
What are they? 5.5 kick. Point favorites? What is the line right now?
I'm looking for it. Right. Yeah, they are on ESPN. It's 4.5.
Four and a half.
Yep. 4.5.
So you're taking the Bears to cover. Here's the thing. I also think the Bears win. And I think the Bears should win. And you laid a lot of that out. So I'm gonna talk more about one thing that I think the Bears could get in trouble that is going to be a key to this victory for this team. And that is Jackson Dart running the football. For fans who have not watched a lot of Giants football, I don't blame you. Congratulations. Like the Cam Scatterboo and Jackson Dart stuff was kind of fun, but I also don't blame you for watching the Giants because they're not a very good football team. But Jackson Dart really has an ability to run. In six of his starts, he's gone over 50 rushing yards four times. So he can get out of the pocket. He can make plays. He can convert first downs. And that's really, in my opinion, what undid the Bears against the Ravens with Snoop Hunt.
I was gonna say that. Yep.
Right? Right? So that was a tight, tight game. The Bears really had many opportunities to win that game against the Ravens, even though the score was kind of lopsided by the end. It was tight throughout. And Snoop Huntley's ability to break, contain, find the gaps, and pick up first downs with his legs was kind of a backbreaker for the Bears defense in a lot of ways. So I think the Bears need to clean that up. They need to make sure that they are containing Jackson Dart so he doesn't beat them with his legs. And I think if they can do that, if they can keep him in the pocket, if they can keep him from scrambling for over 50 yards and converting first downs, I think they'll have a very good chance to win. If Jaxson Dart can start converting first downs with his legs, though, that's where, again, as you said, Kenneth, it's the NFL. Crazy things happen. Teams typically play tight. That's where I think the Bears can allow the Giants to kind of hang around. And then once it's the fourth quarter and it's a one score game, anything can happen, man. Anything can happen.
Let me piggyback on that. I think what will benefit, I think two things with what you just said will help the Bears in this situation with a mobile quarterback. One, he's a rookie. So Ty Huntley, he knows how when to pick and choose and exploit those situations. I think Jaxson Dart a couple of times tomorrow is going to run himself into pressures. I do. I think he's going to scramble into – we've seen Caleb do it over the last year and a half. You got to get the vibe that I'm saying. I think he's going to come out the back, and instead of perhaps remaining in the pocket
– there's not just what?
Yes. He's going to get into some pressures. But also, I think it's easier – and again, this is just my suggestion. I'm not a pro football head coach. I think it's easier for one of the linebackers to be a spy on Jaxson Dart compared to – one, I don't know if they thought Huntley was going to run as much, but also – the Ravens have weapons. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Like they got two good tight ends. They got Zay Flowers. They have Bateman. They have Derrick Henry. Like they got weapons that your guys got to be paying attention out there. And as we open this show or this preview talking, the best players on offense outside of Jaxson Dart are injured, have been injured this season. When you're talking about Cam Scatterboo, and of course, Malik Nabers has solidified himself on one of the freakiest receivers, athletic receivers within the NFL, and a fantastic catcher. So that not having Malik Nabers to blow the top off with crazy hands and having Cam, I think it's easier for you to be like, you know what? You can sit here, Edmonds, you may be able to sit here or Edwards and just watch him. And make sure that, you know, if he steps out, he tries to go up a gap, slap. And I think that could perhaps benefit them moving forward. But I like the point that you made that we've seen a team that already hasn't been able to generate pressure with this down four lineman. It's going to be an issue with trying to contain another runner when you know, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah. Yep.
So, whoa. How you asked for the spread, but how many points do you think the Bears may win
by? You know what? I'll take the Bears to cover also. I love six. Six is a good number, Kenneth. I'm going to say the Bears win 20 to 14. That's six. 20 to 14.
I think it will be – it'll be over 20, but I'm not saying it's to be 30. I don't – so, like, I don't know if I want to go high and then, you know, like, 28 to, or I want to go like 24, but I think they'll be able to score because, like, I mean, one, if you even think about it, like you got into a shootout last week. It wasn't supposed to be a shootout, and usually your running back doesn't put up the numbers that right. Kyle Manungai put up in a shootout. I mean, both running backs play well. Chase Brown played well. Manungai played well.
Giants defensive line is not the Bengals defensive line without Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah, so that I think they should be able to get – because we have to also remember they were scoring over 25 points from the beginning of the season. Like, this hasn't been – the Bears can't score over 19 points. And, like, outside of the Ravens game, that was one of the most frustrating what-the-hell-is-the-offense games. I think they've had maybe three, but that was the one where it was like, what the hell is going on games of this season? But still, for a fan base that hasn't seen scoring consistently – they've actually been putting up points compared to themselves in the past. So I definitely see them getting closer to 25 points. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I'm changing my score. You convinced me. I'm changing my score to 25-19.
That's that one.
That's also six points. So my score prediction official, it's probably the first score prediction ever in the history of score predictions with this score. Bears 25, Giants 19.
I like that one. That'd be interesting. I'm interested in seeing what Dennis Allen is going to do because, like, the trickery that you had, and I don't really mean trickery, but the pressure that you were getting those players, and I mean really primarily Kyler Gordon. He did do it with Gardner Johnson last week, but Kyler Gordon is a different beast when it comes to what he can do on the inside, but also what he can do with the pressures. At this point in C.J. Gardner Johnson's career, you got to get something else from one of those down linemen. Yes. I don't know I mean, he has been playing with Shoyanka, so I'm sure there's no problem. It's not like he has, needs to get his football legs. He actually, his legs are fresh. So it's right. not like, for instance, he's coming off the streets and he hasn't, his cardio is down or anything like that. So it'd be interesting to see what he does in the rotation. But look, they threw Gardner Johnson right up in there last week, and we didn't know. And I mean, he was outside. You know what I'm saying? Like, so. Yeah.
No, Shoyanka should play. He should play. Whether it's like 10, 15 snaps, it's right. not going to be anything major, but he should absolutely get out there.
Yeah. So I'll be interested in seeing the pressure that they gin up this week on the defensive side of the ball. That's probably what I'm going to pay most attention to. And if, I mean, I know the defensive backfield is beat up, but if they get exploited by this rookie and the second depth guys from the Giants, there will be some frustration coming from me on the post game show. So make sure you tune in after every Bears game. We're right here doing a post game to tell you our feelings and talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, as Alex brought up last week during the show.
should we do our extra points, Kenneth?
Yeah. What's your extra point?
My extra point, I'm going to give a shout out to, I'm pretty sure, former co-host of this podcast before Kenneth and I took the keys, Herb Howard, who many years ago at Hallis Hall turned me onto a show called The Wire on HBO. I forget what the hell we were talking about, but he was like, dude, you got to watch The Wire. So many years later, my wife and I have finally started the final season of The Wire. And man, is this a good television program. Unbelievable. So I wanted to talk about it in particular because it's kind of echoing today. It's kind of like, wow, this is an old show, but these themes have never been truer than ever. So this is for people who don't know The Wire, it starts by following basically gangs in Baltimore, the police department in Baltimore, and kind of some of the courts in Baltimore, right? The DA's office, stuff like that. And it does a really good job of showing how like the streets of Baltimore and City Hall in Baltimore work kind of similarly. it's a lot of the same honor code. It's a lot of the same machinations in these two factions, essentially, right? And then they add in the schools, they add in the media, et cetera, et cetera. They add more and more and more. And what's really interesting is this season is really exploring themes of truth and what is true and how important is factual truth. And I'm just like, wow, man, did they even know what was coming? They had no idea what was coming, but just a wonderful program. And here's my little hot take on The Wire. So I've often said The Sopranos is like the best television show in history. I think The Sopranos kind of lost its juice though towards the end. The Wire, at least in the early stages of this final season, phenomenal, so good, firing on all cylinders. If they can land the plane, man, it might be the best television show of all time.
Okay, so full disclosure, and you can come for me, I have not watched The Wire, and people have always had something to say. My reasoning is I grew up in The Wire, so I didn't really need to watch The Wire to a degree. And I know people who've grown up in, you know, urban environments like me and enjoy it. Jack Silverstein, Reed Jack, I know we've had discussion. He's a huge fan. Tony Gill, Sophia from WCIU, like a lot of people that I know, reputable people, and that's just naming a few, think The Wire is perhaps, and I think it probably is. I actually plan on watching it. I was thinking last week or 2 weeks ago, like, when am I going to start watching The Wire? So I'm not saying, but I'm telling you, when it was happening, when the show was on, I was like, there are people running through my yard shooting at people. I really don't, and I'm not in the mood. So fair. Just letting you know, just being honest. I'm saying this, I think they're able to land a plane. I think the only season, I think most of the people, when I see people talk about The Wire, is either season two or three.
Yeah, season two is a bit of a departure.
Yeah, that's what people say. I'm like, but I think it opens up, and you're going to enjoy it, is what I want to say. That's what I'm really trying to get to. That you
can't wait. So shout out Herb Howard, wherever you are. Thanks for turning me on to The Wire, man.
Shout out Herb. Shout out Herb. my extra point is a football extra point. There was no ligament damage in Jaden Daniels' elbow, and he won't need surgery. And you would hate for a young quarterback who was lighting up the league his rookie season to be derailed, even though it wasn't his throwing arm. But still, you would hate for him to suffer significant injury so early into his career. So Max, your point is that Jaden Daniels won't need surgery, and he should be able to heal up fine. So just, again, I know if you're a Caleb guy, you always got to play the guys drafted by next to each other in the same round, but it's not that serious for me. So Jaden Daniels, we're happy here at the Windy City Podcast, even though we are pro-Caleb, that you don't need surgery. We want you to be healthy when we kick that ass. That's the real thing.
We're anti-injury. No,
no excuses. No excuses. All right. No. But I was hurt. Nah, you was healthy when we did what we did. That's how we want it. All right. No excuses. No excuses here. And that's it, because we don't have any game balls because there hasn't been a game yet. So make sure, of course, after the game Sunday that you tune back in with us here on the Windy City Podcast. Make sure you check out Alex throughout the week covering all Chicago sports. We always appreciate you taking a little bit of time here to come on with us to talk a little Bears football. Of course, this is powered by the passionate fans at FanSided. Thank you.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal, each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. There's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's. For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.